Good morning, brethren. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Verse 12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them." He had been preaching the gospel in the temple, and the Pharisees and scribes brought the woman and interrupted him as he preached. And after he dealt with them and with her, he once again began preaching. And he said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, he that believeth on me, he that walketh by faith, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come." The Lord declares here, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." You remember in Genesis chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light, and there was light." Now, he didn't create the sun till a few days later. This light is Christ. He said, "I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world." Look back at John chapter 1. I don't know how far we'll get in this. We're going to just go slow here. John chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." This is Christ, the incarnate Word, the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was in the beginning with God. He was God, and He created everything. All things were created by Him and for Him. Verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Every man in this world is born depraved. We're born in sin from Adam, and so we have no spiritual light. None whatsoever. We're in darkness by nature. But even just the carnal light that a man has to make him a moral being, that's from Christ. Every man that comes into the world, he lights the man. Before this, the Pharisees, the Lord stood. They were going to condemn this woman. And the Lord said, "Whichever of you are without sin, you cast the first stone." And they were convicted in their own conscience. And they went out. It was not a saving light. It was not spiritual light making them fall down and worship Christ. But even that conviction of conscience was from Christ the light. The law is written on every man's heart by nature. Romans 2 tells us that, so that men accuse one another and excuse one another. That's from Christ the light. In him we live and move and have our being. And that light is the life. If we didn't have light in the sky, we wouldn't have life in this earth. And he's that light. He gives the sun its light. But he himself is the light of God's glory. He's the light of God's glory. He's God who came down, robed in flesh, veiling his glory, but he is the light of God's glory. He's the brightness of the Father's glory, Hebrews 1:3 says. He is the brightness. Remember when they saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration? They got to see that light. James, John, and Peter, they saw it glistering white. And Christ is the light by which his people have spiritual life and spiritual discernment. The light of life, he said. He said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Once Christ shines in the heart and gives a sinner light, he never takes away his light. They shall have the light of life. I like the word have, because that means it's of him. And he's going to speak to it. We have the light of life. He's the light that saves his child from the darkness of spiritual ignorance. He's the light that saves us from the darkness of our sin. He's the light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The light comes up, the sun comes up in the morning, and there's light, but it's not fully bright yet, and it rises, and it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And that's the description of a believer born of this light of Christ. The light grows more and more, day after day, and one day we're going to behold him and be perfectly conformed to his image. And the more light we have from Christ, the more we see we are sinners. And the more we see Christ is our only righteousness. John said, he must increase, I must decrease. How's that going to happen? By the light. By him giving you more and more light, you're going to see yourself less and less and less to be trusted, more and more and more of a sinner. You're going to grow down in the estimation of self. And the more you see him, the more you're going to see he's the only righteousness we have. Some days, the sun's behind the clouds. And you don't see it bright shining. You don't see it. And it's dark and it's gloomy. But you still have light. We still have light. The light's still shining. Though we can't see it, it's still shining. We have dark days. We have dark seasons. We have seasons where, from our perception, we have no light. I was working, studying this passage one day, and somebody contacted me and made this very statement about how it seems to be dark and not have light. Well, look over to Isaiah 50. Can that happen to a believer? Look at Isaiah 50. I say this to comfort you, brethren, but I want you to see what this is the Lord speaking here. And he knows this. He went through those 3 hours of darkness when God forsook him. But he never ceased looking to the Father, did he? When it was dark, he believed the Father, even when it was in that gross darkness. Now, this is what he says about a believer Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of Christ his servant? That's who he's speaking about. Who are you that in whom the light is shine? You fear the Lord, you want to honor him, you want to walk after him, you believe him, and you obey the voice of Christ his servant that walketh in darkness and hath no light. I thought Christ said that he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. You won't. Even when it appears to you you're walking in darkness and have no light, he says you will have the light of life. What does he say to us to do in that situation? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Go over to Habakkuk. Chapter 3. Lord willing, I'm going to try to preach on this passage sometime soon. But look over here at Habakkuk 3. He's talking here in Habakkuk about the days that are to come. You know, when Christ came, there was gross darkness. There was no witness. They were just going through a form. Those days are coming again. The witnesses are going to be falling in the street, he said in Revelation. And there's going to be a dire time in this world. He said, when he comes, will he find faith in the earth? There'll be a multitude like the foolish virgins whose lamps have gone out. A lot of the things we call blessing, a lot of the things that we think is light and blessing, he's going to take all that away. Now listen to what Habakkuk said. He said, when he heard this, he trembled. But listen to what he said. Habakkuk 3:17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, he's speaking of spiritual things here as well as physical things, because a fig tree does not blossom. A fig tree brings forth fruit. But he says, though the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. There shall be no herd in the stalls. In other words, all the prosperity that we have right now, where we're a little spoiled over it, he said, when all that's going to be gone, and there'll be a famine of bread in the land. Right now, we can just listen to sermons anytime and he said there's going to be a famine of bread, a famine of the means of grace. We're so full now that if we don't have enemies without, we'll try to make enemies within. And that day it's going to be a blessing just to find a believer. Now listen to this. Verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. See, when he's all you got all. He's going to make us see he is all. It's not all these outward. We love this means of grace. I was glad when they say, let's go to the house of the Lord. But he is the one that is everything to us. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon my high places. You see that? He's the one thing needful. You talk to a dying believer who has nothing else. Ask them what matters. There's just one thing that matters. That's having Christ. That's being found in him. That's all that is needful for us right now, brethren. He's that light. But David, he was without this light at times. He was in darkness, and he said this in Psalm 18:28. He said, thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. What's the candle? Solomon said in Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. That spirit the Lord creates in us, that inward new man, that's the candle. And how is it lit? Christ said, it's the spirit that quickeneth, or that is quickened, that spirit that is made alive. And he said, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That light of life, he quickens you inwardly. That's what David was saying. He will light my candle. He will quicken me inwardly. I'll stay on him till he enlightens my darkness. But now let's go back to John 8. Now I want you to see what real darkness is here, brethren. The Pharisees, some went away after the Lord silenced them. Some went away. But there was still Pharisees sitting there in the congregation as he's preaching in the temple, and he turns and makes this statement, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He shall have the light of life. And they weren't listening to believe Christ. They weren't listening, looking for the light. They were listening to accuse him of something. That's all they were listening for. And listen to what they said. Verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record's not true. Now you think about this. This is the light of the world. The express image of God standing there in human flesh that's speaking to them. This is the one who was giving them their natural life. That life they had and the strength they had to reason the way they did, as corrupt and polluted as it was, to be able to just speak to him and say anything to him, he was giving it to them. He could have just withdrawn it. They'd have dropped like a dish rag. Or he could have revealed his glory and they'd have fallen back backwards. Now that's darkness, brethren, to say to the living God, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Whew. That's what we did all our days of unbelief. That's what unbelief is, calling God a liar. But let me ask you who believe on him, why do you know the record is true? Why do you know the record is true? Christ is shining your heart to give you the light of life. That's the only reason, the only difference between you and them sitting here saying you're a liar. Look over at 2 Corinthians 4:6. 2 Corinthians 4:6. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness back there in creation, that same God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look over at 1 John 5. That's when a person is going to believe, and when they're going to have understanding, is when Christ shines the light. Until then, what are we? We're darkness. We're just like those Pharisees. We hear these things, and we don't believe. We're saying in our carnal heart, I don't believe God. I don't believe God. I believe he's a liar. That's what we're saying. But look at this. 1 John 5:10. He says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. That's what we see in our text. But you that believe, the one reason you do is he shined in your heart. You have the witness in you. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Listen, verse 11, and this is the record, here's the witness, that God hath given to us, freely given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, the light of life. If you have the Son, you believe on the Son, you have eternal life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Isn't that just simple as can be? I mean, that narrows it down to the one thing needful. If you have Christ, you have life. If you don't have Christ, you don't have life. No matter what else you have, if you don't have Christ, you don't have life. There's only one that ever walked this earth that pleased God. There's only one man that ever walked this earth that gave God perfect obedience and pleased God so that God will receive him. That's the God-man, Christ Jesus. He's the only one that ever did. He's the only one that ever worked righteousness in this earth. He's the only one. And when he gives life, when he shines the light, this is the knowledge he gives you. He is the only one God is pleased with. And if you have him, if you've cast everything into his hands and trust him to save you, to present you to God, to bring you to God, you have life. Isn't there more to it? More than Christ? Think there's more than Christ? This is the record God's given of his son. We go back now to this text and listen to what the Lord said. John 8:14, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. He is the truth. He is the incarnate word. Now listen what he said. Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, because I know whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Christ said, my record is true because I know whence I came. I know from where I came, and I know where I go. Nobody else could say this like he can say this. He was with the Father. He's been with the Father from eternity. He is one with the Father. He's God. That's John's whole testimony through this gospel. He's showing us he is God in human flesh. And by him saying, I'm the light of the world, he's saying, I am God. And he was with the Father, and he came into this earth, sin of the Father. He never left the bosom of the Father because he's God, omnipresent. When he was in this earth, he was with the Father because he's God. But he knew where he came from. He's bearing witness. I came from the Father. We want a witness. Here's the witness. He's saying, I came from the Father. What's the difference between a man believing his testimony and not believing him? Him shining the light. You know, you can say all these things in the scripture. You can go through any given scripture and preach the scriptures. And for the most part, one man will say amen, another man will say amen. When one believes and another doesn't believe, who makes the difference? He does. Shining the light. Shining the light. He said he came down to glorify the Father. He came down to work out a righteousness for his people and to show how God's righteous. God didn't trust us to fulfill his law. He came down and fulfilled it for his people. He didn't trust us to honor it, magnify it. He came down and honored and magnified it. He came down and put away the sin of his people and made his people perfectly righteous. And because he finished the work and accomplished it, Christ said, and I know where I'm going. I'm going back to the Father. You know, this is having an identity, to know where you came from and where you're going. If you have that sort of knowledge and that sort of are settled and know that sure something, you're not tossed here and there. You know. The world is in darkness and have no knowledge. And they don't, here's the problem in the world. They don't have an identity. And they say it. You hear people say, I'm going out and striking out and I'm going to try to find myself. And they'll think they found themselves in something that have some identity, and then the next thing you know, they're off onto something else, and it's just tossed here and there, and let the Lord bring some providence that's painful, and it's just, there's no anchor, there's no settled, they're here and there and everywhere. But those in whom Christ shines the light, we know who he is. We know him. And you're anchored. You're anchored. You're settled. You have an identity. The fact is, By Christ's light, we know whence we came. We know in our flesh we came from Adam, ruined sinners who need Christ to do all the saving. We need him to be the author and finisher. We need him to be the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We need him to be our salvation. We know that because we know we came from Adam. But here's what else we know. We know by his witness, by him bearing witness, we know before Adam fell, God put us in Christ. He didn't put everybody in Christ. Scripture says, of God are you in Christ Jesus. He chose a people by free grace and put us in Christ. And this we know, and so we know whence we came from. When Christ came, when he said, I know from whence I came, that's where you came from, believer. Because you were in Christ from eternity. And when he came and he walked this earth and he pleased God and he went to the cross and put away our sin and went back to the Father, you know where you're going because you already went back to the Father. You know that by his light, by his Spirit. God, who's rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us through Christ Jesus. He did for that for us before we knew him. He raised us up together in Christ and made us sit together in Christ. You know from whence you came and you know where you're going. And when you know that, you got an identity. You have an anchor of the soul, both steadfast and sure. You have a sure hope that is entered into the veil, into the holiest of holies where God is, and you know there is my life. I'm already there in him. You know that. But until Christ shines this light, we're only darkness. Verse 14, he said, but you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You judge after the flesh. This is what all sinners do. It's what we did until the Lord gives you spiritual sight, till he gives you spiritual judgment, spiritual discernment, till he shines the light in our heart. Everything they were judging. The word judge here means discernment. You discern, he's saying, after your five senses. The eye, the ear, the nose, the taste, the touch. That's what you're discerning by. The feel, the hearing. You're discerning by the five senses. There stood the light of the world. What did they see? A man. There spoke the incarnate word. What did they hear? Just a man. And they thought what he said was a lie. Christ said, I judge no man. He didn't come to judge, he came to save. But what he's saying here is, I judge no man after the flesh. He judges according to the heart. That means the only ones that have been born of the Spirit and have a new man, born of incorruptible seed, and in that new man is no sin. It's only in, he sees that heart. He knows that heart in his people. So he knows the heart. He knows when it's sin, it's of the flesh, and he knows the faith that he's put in the heart. He knows when the motive is just carnal and sinful, and he knows the motive he put in the heart. He judges after the heart. He said the law doesn't just talk about the outward, what you can see. The law is in the heart. The law is dealing with, if you think an evil thought, you have sinned against him. That's what he's looking on. He's looking on the heart. And the only ones who have a right spirit with the Lord, whose spirit is steadfast, is those who he's given a new heart, in whom he's the life and the light, and they have the light of life. They never don't have it. And that's what he's looking upon. the new man he's made. This is what Paul was getting at over in 2 Corinthians 5:15 when he said the love of Christ constrains us. Because we thus judge, this is the discernment he's given to us, that if one died for all, if one died for all his people, then all his people died. We all died in him. Your brothers and sisters who profess to believe on him, you don't doubt them, you trust they really believe on him. And those that have really believed on him died when he died. Our old man died. I am crucified with Christ. You are crucified with Christ. That old man of sin is dead before God, before the law. And that he died for all, that they which live now by his Spirit in us should not live unto ourselves, but to him that died for them and rose again. Wherefore, having this spiritual discernment, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. We're not judging after the flesh. We're not judging by the carnal senses. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, we know him henceforth no more after the flesh. What's the opposite of that? When a man's judging after the flesh, what's he doing? He's doing what the Pharisees were doing. Paul said they glory in appearance, not in heart. You know, John spoke about the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes is not only the lust of what you look on and covet, it's that lust to have others look on you and see you with a mighty reputation. When Christ shines his light, we discern Christ blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against his people, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, justified us. God says, I do not condemn them. I've cast their sins away. I've blotted them out. They don't exist. As far as the east is from the west, they're gone. Know that about your brethren. Know that about yourself. Know that about your brethren. That's so. That's discernment to know that's so. And he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. That's not circumcision. It's outward in the flesh. Religious things done outward in the flesh, that's not, it profits a little, but true circumcision is in the heart. True worship is in the heart. True godliness is in spirit. That's where it's at. We're going to drop this body one day. We're still going to be worshiping. Still going to be worshiping. So we regard our brethren as righteous in Christ by Christ's righteousness. That's how we discern. And we don't doubt, brethren, we trust they're one with Christ, and Christ justified them. And so it's just to love one another and care for one another and be merciful to one another and forgive one another and try to help one another to see the light. That's just the thing to do. We cease looking upon the fleshly, the outward differences. We're not judging and basing things after the flesh. We've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The light has shined where there's neither Greek nor Jew. We're not worried about there is still Greek and Jew outwardly in the flesh, but that's not what matters in Christ. It doesn't matter what your race is in Christ. In our flesh, we're sinners. What matters is Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. It's not that which is outward in the flesh that makes the difference. It's not barbarian or Scythian, bond or free. It doesn't matter if you're educated, uneducated, rich, poor, any of those things. None of those things are what matters in Christ. That's judging after the flesh. What matters? Christ is all. And here's what matters too. Every believer, he's in all. Christ is all and he's in all. These Pharisees were the concision. They were proud. They were judging after the flesh. They were puffed up by their knowledge. They were puffed up by their good works. Christ-like makes us behold ourselves in light of Christ. And when we start being puffed up and thinking that we can do like those Pharisees and we're going to bring somebody to Christ to be stoned rather than to be healed, you know what Christ does through this gospel? He speaks into our heart just like he spoke to them and said, "You're not without sin." And that, when he does it in spirit, that humbles you. That brings you down. That makes you remember, he's the only holiness. He's the only one that's righteous. I'm not. He's the judge. I'm not. Makes you see yourself as vile. Makes you esteem him as all. And makes you esteem your brother better than yourself. You know, the more the light shines, the more we see that this building we're in, this body, is a condemned building. That's all it is. And it's going to be torn down one day and go back to the dust. The more we see Christ as everything, the light humbles you. The light humbles you. The light never makes us see ourselves as loving as we ought. The light makes you look back on your past, and you don't find things in your past to make you go, "Oh, I'm doing a good job." You don't. The light makes you look back and say, "Oh." The light makes you look to him and say, "There's my only hope right there. Him. Him." We'll pick up later with the rest of this. It makes you say, "I want to know him. I want to be found in Christ's righteousness." It makes you press toward that mark, toward him, looking to him, looking to him. Father, we thank you for this word. We pray you shine the light in our hearts and bless it to our hearts and make us truly behold Christ as our only righteousness. Make us see that you are the light of life. Lord, if there's any that are walking in darkness, Lord, strengthen their faith to look to you and stay on you even when they don't perceive the light, they don't feel the light of your countenance shining upon them. And help us, Lord, to look out of ourselves, away from this world and all the chaos of it and the darkness of it, and help us to look to the true Son of Righteousness and bathe in those healing rays of your light. Strengthen us, Lord, and by your light, forgive us of our sin, forgive us of our darkness. We thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.